Hi, welcome and good morning.
2013 was interesting, wasn't it? That was from February of 2013. And hey, before we go any further, good morning. My name is Philip Santel, and I'm the lead pastor here at Clarity Church. And I want to welcome all of you to Kimberly Lane Elementary School. And I really feel honored to be with those of you who dared this morning, who dared to brave the weather. You've been looking at the, because Minnesotans were obsessed with talking about the weather. I don't know what it is about it, but I don't know if you saw, I saw this map on Instagram the other day, and all it was a feels like map, and it was enough to actually make me go, you know, maybe I should just give ministry up, because it's on Sunday, and this Sunday looks really cold, and anyways, it was like negative, feels like negative 20, negative 30, and all that kind of stuff, but I'm honored to be with you here today. If you're here today, you are truly Minnesotan. You came out, and you said, hey, I woke up this morning, and it was above zero. Ah, it's warm enough, and so you're here. And so with the Christmas season, I don't know. I mean, I was talking to Boyd's over here. I don't know if Christmas season's officially over, but Christmas is officially behind us, and now we have another year before us. Can you believe it? 2014. Now, 2014. Now, if the older you are, the next new year sounds just that much more ridiculous. Am I right? I mean, think about it. I mean, some of you can remember when the movie, you know, 2000 Space Odyssey, and you're just like, I wasn't old enough. Some of you are looking at Phil. You don't look like you're old enough. Yeah, I know. Okay, but like, you know, that seems so far away, right? And here we are, 2014. And so, everyone, just say that with me. 2014. Say it with me. 2014. Get used to it. Get used to it. And so, before we look ahead, let's look back at 2013, would we? 2013 represented a lot of good and not so good memories many have had, and some wish we could forget. And so let's talk about the big ones. Remember on February 11th, Pope Benedict decided to call it quits. Of course, he did it in Latin, because that's the way you do it in the Catholic Church. And of course, the announcement sent the Vatican scrambling to find a replacement, an armchair, a new historian. He didn't get the fact that when you're a pope, you're like a pope for life, and he didn't get it. He's like, you know, I just quit. And they're like, what? You can't do that? And first time in 598 years. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember that exchange. But anyways, if you are, I would like to get your autograph. 2013 was also the year of the royal what? See, some of you watch way too much news. Royal baby, or you just happen to shop at Target and see it in every single aisle. 2013 was also the year of zombies. It was also the year of twerking and selfies. And all the kids love the rubber bandits that we call the rainbow loom. And some of you gave your kids or your grandkids one of those rainbow looms. And now you're vacuuming up little rubber bands everywhere. And your dogs are pooping rubber bands. And, okay, my dog is pooping rubber bands. Can you say poop in church? Well, you can say it in the school, obviously. 2013 was also a year of some really, 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 really big things that we won't forget. Like, some of you remember the Boston City bombing and recently the death of Nelson Mandela. And see, these are just some of the things that touched us all in a general sense. And each and every one of us has a story of what 2013 has represented to each and every one of you. And some of them you'll never, ever forget. 2013 was definitely a year for me that I will obviously never forget, for obvious reasons. Miley Cyrus and twerking, that just forever burned in my mind. And blurred line. That's forever mine. But on a serious note, 2013 was the year that God allowed me and a group of friends to start a new community of people who have made Christ the Lord of their life and the Savior of their lives in the West Twin Cities area. And we decided to call ourselves Clarity Church. And so maybe you're new to church today, and maybe you're just checking us out today because a friend told you that, I promise, if you come out, I know it's cold, but I'll buy you lunch, whatever you want to go, I'll buy it for you, I'll go, just come to church with me. And maybe you're new, and maybe you're not really into the whole church thing, but you thought, you know, I'll check out what this church in a school looks like, and You know, how many of you have been watching The Sing Off? You watch The Sing Off? Sing Off? Not many people. Okay, not many people. Well, if you watch The Sing Off, there was a group of Filipino boys, and I think I got like 500 Facebook messages and text messages saying, OMG, Phil, you look just like the guy with the glasses. And I'm like, well, okay, because he's Asian and has brown hair. So anyways, maybe you're here, you decided to, you know, check this out and see this Asian guy from Virginia, try to help make the Bible clear. And if that's you today, I just want to let you know that what has made 2013 one of the best years of my life is the fact that you are here today and that you're visiting us. And for many of you who are actually sitting here today, you are one of the many people who have decided, because of who we are and why we're here, you've said, you know what, I want to make Christ the Lord of my life, and I want to let you know from the depths of my heart, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. As we head into 2014, I'm really excited about a new series that we're launching in January, and so we're revealing it for the first time. And because it was Christmas, I wanted to give our volunteer staff, and by the way, everyone who's on our staff, you'll see them, and I just love them. Shout outs to all of them. They're all volunteers. So if you ever hear me ever say staff or this, and everyone's volunteer. And so I tried to give this season off for everyone. In fact, we had the real awesome blessing. We didn't have to set up today, so it was actually really cool. But we do have to break down, by the way, everybody. So put your gloves on. Help us out. But I would put the new graphic up, but I had to make the slides last night, so I forgot, so forgive me. But we're heading to this new series called Shift, and I'm really, really excited about it. And back in the days when Clarity Church was just a dream, I huddled with my friends and I cast vision for what I believe God wanted Clarity Church to be in this community. And from those couple of weeks, we talked about many things that I believe created the momentum for us being where we are today. And as we head into 2014, I'm really excited about this new message. And so we never dreamed that on launch day, did we ever dream, Larry, on a launch Sunday, that we would have every single seat gone, over 60 children in our children's ministry, and you can actually fit that many kids back there, trust me, we did it. Did we ever imagine that? No, we didn't imagine what God would do. And so here we are today, we're a church, and since our launch date, we've had 15 people, and actually last week, we had someone that said, you know what, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life for the first time. And so 16 people in these past, 13, 14 weeks now, and from my measurement, I think we're doing well. We've come to do what we've come to do, which is help people who are disconnected from God come to clarity on who Christ is. And because over half of you who call Clarity, half of us who call Clarity home, did not have the opportunity to jump in on the early conversation of what makes Clarity distinct in its mission and its vision, I wanted to take the month of January to shift our minds, to get us all in the same gear regarding why we exist, what do we want to do, and what has God called us to. And so whether you have been attending for a while or you're new and want to know what Clarity Church is all about, you don't want to miss the next few weeks and the weeks to follow that start our message series. And really, honestly, today, that's what I want to do today is I'm just introing our next series coming up because I really want to get you excited. I want you to get you motivated. And plus, if you ever have someone that is maybe a little bit skeptical about church and wonders what in the world is church all about, in these next few weeks, in this four-week series, we're going to talk about what we feel church today is all about and what is the best, most effective way that we can move together as a movement of people who call ourselves Christ followers to live out the mission that God's called in our lives. And so I don't know about you, but one of the frustrating things that I can think of, is living in a state of confusion, living in a state of confusion. Who likes to be confused? No, anyone like to be? I don't like to be confused. And even more annoying is the instance where intention doesn't meet communication. Some of you maybe don't understand what I'm saying. I use big words a lot. My wife's like, you know, you got to simmer down now. You know, for as dumb as you are, you got a lot of big words in your vocabulary. No, she doesn't really say that. Okay, she does say that a lot. Dang it! I have too many friends here who know better. So this week, I was at Fleet Farm, and I want to illustrate this idea of intention without good communication, how this causes a lot of confusion. And some of you, as I explain this, if you're married or you know somebody, don't smack them and say, that's totally you. That'd be embarrassing, okay? I was at Fleet Farm today this week. It was on Thursday, and we were getting some stuff. And I was at Fleet Farm, and I saw a squeegee, a floor squeegee, like one of these bad boys on the floor. On the wall. And I took a picture of it, and I said, hey, can I get this for the garage? Now, I didn't know, but Leona and I had been really quite annoyed. See, the snow had melted, right? The snow melted for you too. It probably did. I'm just asking because I can. But the snow melted for all of us, and inside of our garage was Lake Garage. I mean, seriously, it was absolutely, and it wasn't like the nice clear lake that you'd want to jump into. It was that nasty, mucky, is that really trash? So it was nasty. And both of us had it, and I had just had, but we didn't talk about it. I don't know why. I mean, husbands and wives, we always talk, right? So I was at Fleet Farm, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, that would solve the problem to clean up my garage. So I said, can I get this from the garage? She goes, yes. You know, she says, yes, go ahead and get it. And then because, I mean, I'm not an impulsive person at all. Again, too many friends in the building. Can't wait till we're bigger. No one knows me. So you can't make fun of me anymore. Okay, I'm impulsive. So I didn't want her to think like I'm buying something off of impulse. Men, I don't know if your wives ever charge you with that, but I'm always like snapping pictures like, hey, what do you want to think about this? So I sent her a text message. By the way, to show you that I have done research on this, Menards has it for cheaper, right? Actually just checked like right there as she was replying. So then, of course, she goes, well, then wait, get it at Menards. I'm like, okay, I'll get it at Menards. Well, fast forward to one day. Not really fast forward. It's not fast forward. Just next day. Next day, the story's going nowhere. Fast forward to the next day, we decide to go to Menards, and Menards doesn't have any. And I was like, well, I asked him, how about any of the Menards? And he's like, well, we've been out. In fact, the distribution warehouse has actually been backlogged for all week, and so we don't know where to get it. So we went to Home Depot, we went to Menards. I said Menards, and then Target out, and then I said, well, sorry, Fleet Farm. I mean, they had at least six of them yesterday. Went to Fleet Farm. Guess what? Out, right? So at this time, I had been driving all over. And I was mad, and in my head, I would never say it out loud or tell my wife, but I was like, if she had only let me get that squeegee, right? Well, I'm not very smart, so I actually told her, if you had only let me get that squeegee, and she goes, don't put this on me, and I got the text messages to prove it. So I thought I was smart, and I text messaged her the picture of her going, get it at Menards, right? I was like, well, you told me, just wait for Menards. Well, then she text messaged me back, see where I said yes? And if you had told me that it was only $2 less, I wouldn't have, like, sent you on this. Anyways, needs to say, I eventually found someplace in the Twin Cities. I had to drive all the way to Woodbury. No, I'm teasing. See, they're close to Wisconsin, so they don't care about messes. Oh, I'm teasing. We have any cheesehead fans? Whatever. Har, har, har. So what was the problem here? The problem was that we both wanted the garage clean, and we didn't communicate well enough to actually get the job done in a manner that wasn't frustrating. Our intentions were all in the right place, and it took us. So it needs to say, it's an interesting story to tell you that I am just as sad as you think I am. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you can relate. In fact, I may not know all of you really, really well, but I know I know this. I bet you've been in a situation. I bet you've been in a situation with someone else, where both of you are wanting the same thing. Both of you wanted the exact same thing, but you were just going at it at two different ways. Two different ways. Anyone ever been in that situation? It was only me. I think all of us have been in that situation. And you know how it ends up going. People get mad at each other. And then finally they're like, wait a minute, you wanted that? Yeah, I wanted that. Well, I wanted that too. Oh! And then it becomes one of those memories that you look back and you laugh about. And you're like, oh, remember that time that you were stupid? No, you were stupid. No, you were the stupid one. I was the one that, and then it turns into an argument. But for the most part, you remember it and you laugh. But what happens when the problem isn't just with communication? What happens if the problem isn't just communication, but it's also intention? What happens in the relationship of your life when communicating isn't just what's dividing you, but it really is the fact that you're both going after a lot of different things? This is what some would call a house divided, right? A house divided. And in cases like this, where there are division, it's always a plan for disaster. Now, this is nothing new, of course. Jesus even made this same statement as recorded in Mark's gospel. I have it up here on the screen. It says this: if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. You know that. You're smart. You believe it. Some of you have experienced it. And I bring this all up to encourage us with the same words that Paul encouraged the church. He started in a city called Corinth. And really, this is what I want to leave us with today. If I can give you the gift, I want to give you the gift that no pastor has ever given you: getting out early, okay? So I want to do that today. But I want to motivate you, encourage you who call Clarity Church home, and then for those of you who are visiting for the first time, leave you with a great impression. Be like, wow, that was short. I'm coming back. Awesome. Come back next week for a 45-minute message on giving. No, I'm teasing. I laugh as I see Adele's dad here. Hey, he came back and visited on the day that spoke on giving, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this: I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And the reason why I'm so excited about our upcoming series is because I believe that it will help us continue to see the kind of things that I believe God has called Clarity Church to exist for. For us to be of one mind, to be united in thought and purpose, we do need communication, or we're going to look a little bit like my situation this week. And for most of us who follow Christ and call Clarity Church, who call Clarity Church home, it will be the kind of communication you have been longing to hear, because it is the same intention that you had in your heart. I believe that. More importantly, our upcoming series will be one that will create some clarity around why we exist and why we do what we do. And so here's the truth. God desires to reach and bless all kinds of people, all right? And because of this, he seems to enjoy having a wide variety of churches where everyone is reached. This is why when we moved into this area called Plymouth, our tagline wasn't Clarity Church, the best church around. Clarity Church, the coolest place in town. Clarity Church, what can Brown do for you? I don't know. I mean, Clarity Church. We didn't call it anything like that. Some of you are like, I just got that. Right? Anyways, the late laughter, awesome. I like that. Thank you very much. Clarity Church. What our tagline is just this: Clarity Church, a new light in the city. Here's what we know. Here's what we know about the gospel. The gospel is light. And there is darkness in this world. And the last thing I think we need are genuine lights of God clashing against each other. Instead, we believe it's God's heart that there would just be more lights in places where darkness is increasing. And so that's why I believe that God has all types of churches for all kinds of people. This is why this includes churches for people who connect with God in really highly emotional ways. It includes churches that connect, that help people connect with God in very formal and very traditional ways. And then everyone in between. I believe that's why we have all these different types of places where I believe, for the most part, the Word of God is being taught and disciples are being made. And here's the truth. If you're a follower of Christ, each of us has a part to play in God's plan. But there is a spectrum, and we need to know where we fit in that spectrum. Specifically, we need to be of one mind, united in thought and in purpose. And to be clear, I'm not saying that uniformity is conformity, okay? I'm not asking you to conform. Unity is saying that despite our differences in personality, in background, or preferences, we decide to work together because we believe that what God could do through all of us has the potential to be exponentially greater than what God would do through any one of us. Now, some of you are like, well, what about Billy Graham? He was one guy. Well, are you Billy Graham? Well, no. Well, we need all of us. We need all of us. I don't know about you. The whole reason why I even ventured to leave a great vocational job in ministry over 10 years, climbing up, quote unquote, the ladder of vocational ministry to do this, to put this risk, is simply because of this. I felt a call to ministry at a very young age simply because I was enamored with the idea that God could change a life. You see, I don't know about you. I don't know where you came from. Some of you might have grown up in a church. Some of you have not. I grew up in what I call a home that was learning to follow Christ. You see, my parents came to faith in Christ as I was a kid, and they're very dysfunctional. And so I had the pleasure, for all its joys and pains, of watching two people learn to learn what it means to follow Christ. And here's what I learned. I learned that God could change a life. If he could change my dad, he could change anyone. If he could change my mom, he could change anyone. And maybe some of you too, you follow Christ simply because not only God changed your life, but you've seen what God has done in the lives of those around you. And some of you even go to church every single Sunday because what motivates you is the fact that God could change life. And that's really what we want to do. We want to be a life-changing station for the people in our area. 85,000 people. I mean, look it up for yourself, citydata.com. 85,000 people in the Plymouth and Maple Grove area, self-proclaimed. They check the box by their will and sign on the bottom. I am a non-religious adherent. I could give a rip about Buddha, about Jesus, about Muhammad. None of the above for me. Doesn't make them bad people. But here's what I know. It means they don't have the hope of Christ in their lives. And I think I would just have a hunch that God is not yet done with reaching people who are disconnected from him. And if I know you, and I know who you are as a follower of Christ, you would believe that too. And even if you're not a follower of Christ, maybe you're here for the first time and you're visiting and you're like, I don't know this whole thing. It's changed my life. I don't want to change my life. I just want some lunch. I would hope that as we talk about our passion to reaching people with the hope and love of Christ, that you would understand most of all that it's just not a passion that we have because it's like, I'm passionate about Jesus, but I'm also passionate about the Vikings. But hopefully you would understand that our passion is a direct result because someone was passionate for us. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die so that you and I could be forgiven of all the times that we made decisions that were incongruent with God's standards. We fell short of God's standards, and God forgave us anyways through the death of his son on the cross. And it's a gift for us to receive if we would receive it, if we would choose to say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. I want to choose to follow you. I'm changing who God is in my heart and in my mind. I'm making you the Lord. And so, anyways, for the next couple weeks, we'll be tackling some really, really, really big questions. Questions like, what is the purpose of a church? What is the one responsibility most Christians miss out on? What is the difference between going to church and being the church? And how does the Bible define a growing follower of Christ? And just to let you in, I talked about this a little bit at our volunteer huddle. We get together every morning at 9:30, all the people who volunteer. We just huddle together and we pray together. And we get excited to see many of you come here, and we're so glad you're here. But this is what, and I talked about this, and because we're Clarity Church, because our vision is that we want to help people disconnected from God come to clarity on who Christ is. We're not only launching small groups come February, we're also launching a 10-week series where we're going to be covering basically the Sermon on the Mount as we walk through the words of Jesus in probably the greatest sermon ever told, because it was Jesus, and so he was great, and so the sermon obviously is great too. But we're going to try to attempt to walk through that together and gain some clarity, not only on who Jesus is, but what Jesus taught and what he wants from each and every one of us who call Christ the Savior of our Lord. So you're not going to want to miss it. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Here's what I'd like us to do. I'm going to close in prayer. But as you celebrate and think about the new year, as you think about next Sunday, as you think about these next few months, here's what I'd like you to do. What I'd like you to do is to begin to make that your prayer. If Clarity Church is your home. And so a lot of this, what I'm talking about today, is just kind of insider language. I'm talking to a lot of you who come here all the time. And here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you would pray that God would make us of one mind, that God would help us not only to be united on what we're thinking regarding his truth, but our purpose and why we're here. And I'm so excited for the opportunity to get to share with you what I got to share with some good friends of mine now many months ago. That has made all of this possible. And so would you make that your prayer this week? And I will see you next week as we start our new series called Shift. So with that, let's pray.